Good morning, everybody. How are you? It's raining. Beautiful rain. Oh, love it, love it. Let's see. We may have a little problem with music today, but we're going to work through it. So we're going to do that.
How excellent is thy name?
We're going to start with 517. I am resolved. Could you stand, please? 517 or on the overhead. Message in that song. Thank you, Lord, for getting us here today. Thank you, Lord, for the precious, beautiful rain, Lord. Lord, we hope that you'll give us more, but whatever it is you give us, Lord, it will be enough. And we thank you for it. Thanks for getting us here today, Lord. Thank you for the good week we had, just getting things done, Lord, being with each other, here today, Lord, shaking hands, smiling, hugging, crying for each other, Lord, whatever. The opportunity, Lord, to be here for each other. And most of all, Lord, to be here for you, to come here to worship you. Thank you for this day, for all these folks, Lord. I love them all. Glad they're here with us today. Thanks for what you laid in Pastor's heart today, Lord. I pray that as he preaches, that you would give him the power, the strength, the courage that he needs today to preach your word. May it speak to each and every person here today. May it touch hearts, Lord. Lord, if somebody needs to make a decision for you today, may that person do so before they leave this building. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us. I know you always are, Lord, but please be with us today. Guide and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. We do have music. We don't have music. Let's see. How are we going to work this, folks? Ain't got it, evidently. How about?
Can we see the word signing? I probably don't.
Yeah, Kay does, but she can't. She needs the music.
I will, but is that the right tune? I can't.
I don't know. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
Yes. That's
a, we're gonna work through it. Going to jump. I know one here if I can remember the page of it.
Which one? It is well.
Let's go to page 11, please. You both know that. I know you do. Page 11, and then we'll keep our song numbers intact here as we go. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, sing His power and His love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, His chariots of wrath and deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light, it streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Good. Now, 417, please. 417.
When peace like a river tendeth my way, when sorrows are seen, billows roll, whatever my lot Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well with my soul.
With my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should soul,
Sing the last. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be golden as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, our evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Don't miss out, folks. Come on out here. Be with us. Conclusion of Shepherds and Sheep. That's in John 10. Personal evangelism is on 11, 25th at 6. Wilton Bible Study is going to meet the 13th and 27th at 6. Our next food fellowship is July. Kitchen team is Sandra and Marilyn. Don't forget there. There's going to be a music meeting today after morning service. Missionary Steve Muindi. I don't know if you all know him, but he's a pretty good guy. He was going to be joining us here on the 6th of August. Men's Bible study the 1st and 15th at 9 o'clock in the morning. Women's Bible study on the 18th. Ladies retreat, November 4th at Walnut Park. Thought for the week from our pastor. America's independence is directly proportioned to her dependence on God. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the bit that I just read there, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember to be dependent totally on you, Lord. You supply all our needs, Lord. All you want, Lord, is for us to just give you a little praise. You are due, Lord. People don't know you. They've forgotten about you. Lord, you do it all, but no one wants to give you credit. Help us, Lord, to give you all the credit today, Lord. Our pastor is going to speak, Lord. Be with him as he does so. Now we're going to take an offering, Lord. Please be with the gift and the giver, Lord, as we try to give back a small portion to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason's going to play for us now.
Good morning. Lord bless everyone. Good to see you. Now, there's an old English and American tradition of teaching and singing songs about heroes and events that have taken place. And a lot of them are kind of fantastical, but they still do it. They're called ballads, and they follow a certain rhythm. And it's just part of prose and poetry. But it is a tradition. Think of like John Henry or something newer, like the destruction of the Edmund Fitzgerald, I believe, is technically a ballad as well. But one thing they have in common is that they have a tragic ending usually, and the heroes are kind of fantastic and they end tragically. Now, this is a ballad about Jesus, and it checks off all the boxes of a traditional ballad except for two things, and that we serve a risen Savior and He is living. And the things that He does are fantastic, but they're also true. And number two is that while it does have a tragedy, that tragedy is not on Jesus' part, but it's that we don't turn to Him. So things to think about in this song. Amen. Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to Him. There's no one can satisfy, I should come to Him. Jesus said that if I'm weak, I should come to Him. No one else can be my strength, I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to Him. No one else can be my shield, I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said that if I'm lost, He will come to me. And He showed me on that cross, He did come for me. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind.
Savior Jesus Christ. Well, greetings this morning in His name, and I'll tell you what, Jesus has a good name. And I left some things down here I've got to get. It's a great day once again, realizing that, you know, God's love letter to man, the Bible, confirms that God told us early on that Jesus would be coming and that He would come again for the benefit of mankind and the help with our sin after Adam and Eve fell into sin. And the Bible tells us He's coming again, but His help is available to us today. The next time He returns to this earth, though, it will be in judgment. And it will be judgment for the sins of the world as He executes that. But as of today, His grace prevails, His love toward everyone prevails. And so today is a good day to get into a walk with Jesus. He cares about you, and He is there for all of us today. He loves us dearly. Again, welcome and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's good to have a nice group out this morning. We're always glad, especially for someone that might be visiting with us today. We want you to feel welcome today. If someone doesn't come from our group here and ask who you are or shake hands with you, you go and tell them who you are and tell them they ought to be ashamed. Because we're interested in people and we're interested in our community. And we want you again to feel welcome here today, just as Jesus welcomes all people to himself. Now today, one little thing before we get started, for those of you that are visiting, Fruitland is a congregationally governed church. But I'm asking this morning, we don't have to have a business meeting, but I'm going to just bring one little thing to our thoughts. At the end of July, we normally have our noon fellowship on that month. Would anyone object? So if you object, we'll have to vote on it, but that's okay. If we switch our fellowship from the last Sunday in July to the first Sunday in August, when Stephen Mwinde, our missionary to Kenya, is going to be here. Does anyone have a problem with that? Well, if you do, I've got time for counseling this week. So that is the thing. So change that in your bulletins. That will be the first Sunday in August, August 6th, for our fellowship, and we'll be sure that Deb gets that publicized very well. But anyway, that's what it's about here, folks, fellowship. Fellowship isn't just eating around a table. That's part of it, but real fellowship is fellowship that we can have with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And fellowship one with another through Jesus Christ. And we'll celebrate that here toward the end of the service. Today, though, as we go to prayer, we're going to take just a few minutes of silent time here as we adjust our hearts for worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Realizing today we have some empty seats here, which we usually do. We'd love to be in a great building program here that we're so filled with people that are interested in the Lord. But we are interested in our community and in the souls of people. But realize today some of our own number are not here for various reasons. Some may be ill. We know that Andrea took a fall this week. We've had other folks in our congregation here that have had losses in their families. All types of things that affect the condition of man. So remember to think about those folks today. People may be struggling with anxieties and depressions, grief, all kinds of things that affect the human heart. So pray for those folks as well this morning as we go to prayer. And then after those few moments of silent prayer, I'll have a pastoral prayer, and then we'll begin our service today. So shall we bow together and talk to the Savior? Our Father in heaven, we come to your throne today once again on the basis and merits of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who interceded on our behalf, Lord, and he and the Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf today as our prayers are uttered toward you. Today, Father God, we just want to praise and rejoice you for who you are, what a wonderful God you are, what an awesome God you are, a God who is totally incomprehensible to the human mind. Yet, Lord, through your grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, you have revealed yourself, not only in your creation, but through your word. And, Lord, what a wonderful thing it is. Lord, we stand in awe of you today. We realize, God, you are no one to mess around with. We know who you are. But, Lord, we thank you that you saw fit to draw close to us through your Son, that we might have a personal relationship with you, where we can even crawl up into your lap and say, "My Daddy, Abba, Father." Thank you, Lord, that you are that kind of God to us today. Now, Lord, we thank you today for the gathering of the church. And, Lord, again, as we are reminded each first day of the week that the early believers chose to celebrate and to acknowledge the resurrection. That's what this is about, Lord. It's new life that's found in you, the power of the resurrection. And so today, Lord, once again, we gather on the first day of the week in the morning to commemorate your living life, Lord, the power that you have in us that can be alive. Lord, today this is a time of worship, and I pray today with the things that we discuss, but also with our hearts as we adjust them today, that we would see them and hear them through the lens that is you. Lord, that we would make it a priority today to show you your worthwhileness in our worship. And Lord, to once again extol you and to be fed and, Lord, to be led by your almighty hand. Lord, we thank you for the week that is past. Lord, several things have happened in many lives here. We've seen deaths, we've seen triumphs, we've seen tragedies, Lord. And we know that there are always a number of folks who are ill, or, Lord, that are struggling in one way or another. We think of Andrew this morning, who has taken a fall. I think about Brenda's brother today that is suffering. Others, Lord, that are beyond the opportunity to mention every name. But, Lord, may we, again, bring those things before your throne for your action. But, Lord, many people that are struggling and that may, again, Lord, need an encouraging word from your people. So, Father, I pray that you would help them. Now, Lord, today as we look into this message, I pray that you would help me to expound it. We do acknowledge today that on Tuesday we are celebrating 274 years, should you tarry, Lord, of independence as a nation. And we'll discuss that a little bit today, Lord, and how that works in the theological terms, how this really came from your very hand to mankind. But we pray for our nation today, Lord. We pray for its citizens. Again, Lord, we pray that you would intervene in the things that take place because of our sin, and that there would be a turning, Lord, to you individually that yields a change corporately. Now, Lord, we pray for other pulpits today that are teaching and preaching the truth. We pray, Lord, once again, that as we understand what your word says in the book of Isaiah, that when it is expounded, it never returns to you void, and it will accomplish the purpose that you have intended. So I pray that that would be the case today, Lord, realizing also that I'm the weak link in that chain here in this pulpit today. What a privilege it is, Lord, but what a daunting task it is to bring forth your word. So I pray today, Lord, as you know my frailties and my weaknesses, that you'll help me. And Lord, that this day and the events of it will be things that will bring you honor and glory. Now again, we thank you for all things and pray these things in that wonderful name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, America's independence from Great Britain. By the way, I have a lengthy introduction today. It'll probably take half the time. Is there anyone that has a problem with that? America's independence from Great Britain has its official roots in the Declaration of Independence that will be 247 years in history this coming Tuesday, July 4th. Now, it's interesting to note that when that declaration was signed and it was presented to King George, it was not the end of all things. It actually was not even the beginning of all things in that struggle, because the Revolutionary War, if you go into history, really encompassed the years 1775, to get technical about that, April 15th of 1775 through September 3rd of 1783. The fight for liberty in those colonies here that are, we know today as the United States of America, was a long and difficult process. And folks, it continues on to this very day. It is a long and continual and a difficult process. But liberty today, which is the focus of our message, which, again, I didn't even give you my title this morning, but the greatest treasure of America, I believe, is liberty. There's your title. And so liberty, as we look at the definition of that, is defined as freedom within a society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political viewpoint. That's the textbook Merriam-Webster's definition for the word liberty. Well, in earlier times in our nation, it was common to read the Declaration of Independence every July 4th publicly, as part of the memorial celebration. You know, I really wonder, as I put this message together this week, how many people have ever read it, or our Constitution, or even care in our current society. I think that's a question worth pondering. But we're going to look at part of it today, because that, again, has a great impact on believers and how the connection is made with liberty. I'm going to read part of it this morning and part of the U.S. Constitution that speaks specifically to the subject of liberty. The declarers and the framers did have all the fundamental basics for human government and its establishment by Almighty God. In other words, I do believe, even within our sin, God directed these folks who were sinners. I don't believe that every one of them was a Bible-believing Christian by any stretch of the imagination, but through God's grace and providence, he directed them to institute this experiment that we've had now for 247 years in the United States that goes on and is, again, a wonderful document and organization that I believe had its inspiration through the Bible and through God's hand and how he deals with mankind. I'd like you to open your Bibles or your devices this morning, and I'm neglectful this morning to welcome our internet listeners as well. We are aware of that, and we're glad for those as well. But I'd like us to open our Bible or your device this morning to Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 6. And what I'd like to talk about is the formation of human government. The formation of human government very briefly today, because make no mistake about it, human government was established by God. Human government was established by God. Genesis 9, verses 5 through 6. I point to this. God says this, after the things that took place and the flood and so forth, he says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man." What God is telling us here in this text, he says blood, this is a fundamental thing about human government. The shedding of blood is an important thing. And what he's talking about here is the taking of a life. In this context, at this part, he says even when the life of an animal is taken for the wrong reasons, it's an important thing. But more importantly than that, when there is a life of a human that's taken and their blood is shed, it's a very important thing. And let me show us here as we walk through this how this deals with human liberty. And of course, here we find in verse 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And so there is the first speaking in the scriptures about the institution of human government, where God said there is a responsibility of mankind, again, to deal with things that go outside the boundaries of my law. And that there will be an establishment of this, that man will have a responsibility in those endeavors. And that is the beginning of human government. God used this. He gave it to man, the responsibility and the authority to govern or regulate man's behavior regarding life, and in this case, animals and fellow man regarding the shedding of blood, which we would define as murder or killing. God is the author of life. He is not the author of death. That's what he instituted in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, is eternal life in the Garden of Eden. Well, we know what happened, and we'll look at that briefly this morning. But the Bible's basis for human government is God's ordained mirror, which is God's holy law. That's the basis for government, God's laws, the things that he has designed, that again revolve out of the Ten Commandments that describe his holiness. And if we're to believe that God created this whole thing, then we also know that his will and his being have an impact on all things, and that in our current day we are a fallen race. He ordained the mirror that is God's holy law, restraining evil and promoting goodness or righteousness. And folks, that is what human government was instituted for. Human government was never instituted to be a welfare state. It was never instituted for all the other things that we have seen happen throughout all the ages that governments did, but it was pure and simple for two reasons: to restrain evil and to promote the good. God gives some of those parameters in Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter 2 about how we ought to obey human government. But let me also tell you, folks, in what I've just given you briefly, God also gives a catch in that in Acts 5:29 from the Apostle Peter, where he says, we obey human government in God's stead until it says that we do things against or in opposition to what the will of God is. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So understand this, human government has parameters around it that have been instituted by God, and we must respond accordingly to those things. But when a government is doing the things that God would have, we need to obey it. But when it does not, we have an obligation to not obey it and obey God in place of it. Now, enough said on that. You can study those two texts. But that's what government was designed for. And folks, I'm sad to say here today, what a disaster our government is today. It strayed very far from those ideals that are found in the Word of God. And folks, that's up to you and I to take action about that, starting with us. You want to see change regarding these things? Bring upon change in your life and mine. And then we'll see some things get rocking and rolling, folks. Okay, well, there's more on that today. By the way, I hope you brought your seatbelts because this could get rough today. Okay? Fasten your seatbelts. You know, we don't always agree on everything at Fruitland Baptist Church. That's not why we're here. We're here to be challenged by the Word of God. That's why I'm here. You don't have to agree with me about everything. And by the way, I still love you if you don't. Maybe you don't love me, but the Lord says you should. But we need to think about these things, folks. We're not here just to be, you know, mechanical robots. We're here to think for Jesus. We're here to do for Jesus and to get these things straight. Now, I don't like to do a lot of reading, as you know, with introductions because I have to keep my place. But I got to find my place now where I stopped. But the rule of law, folks, in the rule for law that God has established is based in liberty. If you don't hear anything else, the rule of law is established as its basis in liberty. And it's controlled by civility, where liberty is subject to God's boundaries. And an individual's liberty does not infringe on another's liberty. Can I give you a couple of examples here really quickly? We know in our nation that abortion has been a controversial issue for many, many years, almost 5 decades, actually. And we know that there's been some rulings in the Supreme Court and so forth. But folks, let me just tell you how this works and how it works with God's laws. Abortion may be a liberty that a person has, but it is restrained by infringement on another's liberty. And that case is the unborn lives of children. But further than that, it is also restrained or infringed upon because of what God says, which I've already covered, that we should not murder. We don't have the right to take someone's life because of their liberty that God has given them. And I do believe that, folks, with all my heart. From the minute the egg is fertilized, there is a new life. We don't have that right to do that. And that's where, again, you can look at America where we've struggled with this, folks. But it's not just those issues alone, but it's many things that we find that we've tested through our time. We've seen the Supreme Court act in the last few days over some issues. And again, they're always following that constraint. Yes, people have liberty, but the liberty is infringed upon when it violates another person's liberty or it violates the law of God. And that is how God designed that to be. We struggle with that. We always will struggle with that here in America. We will struggle with it in our own personal lives. But God is the author of liberty. That's how it's always been. It will always be a struggle. And any system of government that is established on the basis of liberty will struggle. One more thing, and I'll read from the book here. Liberty is originated and instituted by and from Almighty God. Liberty is originated and instituted by and from Almighty God. While you have your Bibles open or your devices, Genesis 2:15-16. Genesis 2:15-16. Let's go right to the crux of this here this morning. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And here we find this, and I encourage you to read this text yourselves and work through it, study it. We find this, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree, this is verse 17, of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek a little bit here today. I will make him a help fit for him or meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And you can read down through this how God's creative work took place. But what God said is, these are the boundaries that I have set. But what God did not say is, Adam, you're going to be forced to keep these boundaries, did he? God gave the warning. He told the consequences. We'll look at that just a little further. But he said, Adam, these are the criteria that are set. It's up to you to do with those what you will. And folks, every one of us in this room faces that same thing. God is not going to stop you. He's given the criteria, again, of the parameters we should operate in. But what he essentially is saying, it's up to you to make that choice. Folks, when we see in our Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, the idea of liberty, it's the idea of inalienable rights given by God. God has given us liberty to do as we choose, but with consequences. Okay? Now go over to 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Did Eve know the parameters? Did God know the parameters? Yet he did not take away their liberty to do those very things, because what happens? The serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. By the way, folks, Satan will always seek to tempt us and say what God said is not the truth. Every time we sin, Satan wants to take away our liberties in Christ, our freedom. He wants to bring us into his bondage, you see, folks. And so he told a lie, a little lie, okay, to Eve, and she fell for it. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, that's with a little g, knowing good and evil. In other words, you're going to get a conscience. We have that conscience within us today. But here's verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And you can read the rest of it, but folks, God didn't force them to do anything. They made their own choice because they were given by God the liberty to do as they saw fit. That's the responsibility that you and I have. And that's what God has ordained for humanity. That's why in America we have a wonderful thing. We have a choice. We have free will that was granted to the first human and every human since by God. Well, I want to read this morning, and I'll keep this brief. This is my 1983 Information Please Almanac. I still have it around. That means it's what, 40 years old. Cost on it was $5.95. Now, I know you can go to the computer or the phone or whatever, but I still like this because there's a lot of stuff in here that's not available in other places. So, you know, I'm a little bit antiquated that way. But could I read a part this morning of the Declaration of Independence? That was very common in the churches back in the day. Just a part of it, okay? It starts out, whereas in the course of human events it becomes necessary. What's being talked about here is separation, independence from repression, like we learned from England, King George. So here it is. I'm going to go down to the second paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that are among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudent, by the way, look in here for the two things I told you about human government. Restraint of evil, promotion of the good. By the way, real good is found in what? The Bible says there is only one good, and that is God. Okay? Anyway, I won't bore you with all this, but if you have a minute today, because our time's running out, read down through here, and we come down here, and the writer said this at the bottom of this paragraph: to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And what you'll find in the Declaration of Independence then is all the things that were brought forth to the King of England, King George, of where they had had their inalienable rights violated here in the United States of America, and why, again, they had declared their independence, why this nation was to be born under these type of conditions. By the way, folks, what I mentioned, and I've got to read one more thing here in just a minute, would you also allow me to read one paragraph from the preamble of our Constitution? And here it is. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And then the First Amendment, and this is my last reading from this morning. As soon as I get it found here, I got to switch another page here. Here it is, Article 1 of Amendments to the United States Constitution. Freedom of religion, speech, of the press, and right of petition. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Folks, we need to read our rights that have been afforded to us. It's very important. But really what was happening here when they protested with King George, and it comes back to that First Amendment, in Europe they had been oppressed in their religious liberties. And what they really were saying is, you cannot force us into some state religion and to what you draw us into a box, because we have our inalienable rights from God. And we are not going again to go along with those things. We are going to go with the tenets of what God has given us and to all humans in His Word. Now, folks, I just want you to think about that in the condition we have in our world and even in America today. More on that in just a minute. We got to keep going. But understand this, and I encourage you to read these declarations and the Constitution. But liberty has great responsibilities and great repercussions. Liberty has great responsibilities and great repercussions. I'm going to have to kick this in high gear today. Time is short. So we read about that. Liberty, it's the greatest gift to America. So in the best system of government ever devised by man, we have what we have in America, but it is a struggle, and it is not perfect or complete, as in no human endeavor ever will be, because of our sin. But the greatest treasure from God in America is indeed liberty. It has been and is being endangered from many influences because of our sin. I want to point out a danger today as I bring this message to a close and we go to communion that really fits right in with what happened in the formation of our nation. And I believe this will be controversial as I present it. Some of you may not agree with me on this. But as I said earlier, we're not here to agree on everything. We're here to think. We're here to search scriptures. We're here to understand what God would have for us. The danger that I would like to point out to the Christian community may not be something, as I say, that you agree on. But in our near past and in the current day, it has become very prevalent. And my friends, it's called Christian nationalism. Have you heard of that definition before? Christian nationalism. And my friends, it defies God's liberty and our Constitution. Specifically, what I just read to you, Article 1 of the amendment known as the First Amendment. I read that to you in just a little bit before, a few moments ago. But the Christian nationalist movement essentially hopes to make America into God's America. Now, on the surface, that sounds good. But hear me out on this, which it falsely claims it is to begin with.
We don't know the purposes that God has used America for. I've proffered some of those in the past regarding Israel. I don't know what God will do with America, but I know that He will do according to His pleasure and goodwill with America. But the way we respond to Him still has relevance. Let me finish this. But with that said, America could become God's nation if true liberty to choose God is in the best or is in the hearts of every citizen. You cannot rule this or legislate it from top down to make America into a Christian nation. But the way God works is from the bottom up as He changes hearts. And even then, when God changes hearts, folks, how this will all turn out is in His hands. And we need to leave it as such. By the way, folks, He needs to be the king of our lives. He is the number one thing, the Lord God, that we ought to be concerned about. But it is, I believe, an attainable goal due to our fallen nature. And, my friends, it is of satanic origin. Because it does not clearly stick with what the Word of God teaches. No question, you and I have the liberty in our vote to elect spiritual or non-spiritual candidates under God, which is fine, but we cannot force Christianity, nor should we, on anybody because it violates God's liberty in people to accept Him or to reject Him. We cannot legislate or impose anything on anyone else, my friends. That's what our Constitution says. Now again, with the parameters that I gave you earlier, how it infringes on someone else's rights and how it lines up with what God's law says. That's what our Constitution says. It's what the Bible says. We must pray and focus, as Jesus taught us, for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He will have to change the hearts in His time. Think about it, folks. Just the definition of Christian. When we think about this movement that is very prevalent in America today, we can't even define totally what a Christian is when we think about the diversity of what's meant in that term. I could sit here today and tell you what I believe it means. I believe it's a born-again believer, and I could put a lot more criteria with that. But, folks, that's a debatable term. And the interpretation of Scripture, folks, we wouldn't all agree in this room, probably none of us, on the total interpretation of Scripture if we came down to the nitty-gritty, would we? Right? We would all agree that even in this room, again, we could not come to that conclusion about every issue of Scripture, and so the answer to that is likely no. But I thank God for liberty. Amen. To be free from oppression about my walk with God, not compromising what others believe or they compromising what I believe and practice. That's what is meant by our inalienable rights before God. So I say this, leave it to the works of the Holy Spirit and appreciate true liberty that comes from God. Folks, our liberties face threats from many factions, including the imposition of the religion of humanism. You don't hear a lot about that, but it's human values and human practices. Anytime you see the word ism, think religion. By the way, Bible Christianity is not religion. It's a real living faith and walk with Jesus Christ. We are not here to go through a dogmatic religious exercise this morning. We are here to celebrate life in Christ and His goodness to us and the liberty that He has given us. Secular humanism encompasses many movements in our nation that seek to restrain liberty and promote bondage. I won't mention those this morning, but the Supreme Court ruled on some of those things just this week. By the way, it's not over, folks. It's just a matter of time till the Supreme Court changes, or the values of our nation, as they have, change. Folks, this will be a perpetual battle till Jesus Christ is on the throne once again. Christian liberty is the target that Satan has placed on our nation and the world today. If liberty goes with its checks and balances, totalitarianism and the rule of the mob that's in power will replace it. It is at the doorstep, and friends, it is coming in the door. Christians, stand for liberty. Let God deal with people. Let Him deal with you first. And it'll flow out of that, folks. That's how America will change. We cannot make America into a Christian nation. If it ever is to be, it will be done by Almighty God. This morning as we go to communion, I ask you and I today, have you been liberated from the bondage of sin to the freedom of Jesus Christ? That's what this is all about this morning. Liberty! Jesus is the author of it. And He, you can have it today if you're in bondage. If things, people, nations take precedence in your life over Jesus, be freed in the liberty of Christ. Put Him first. Make Him your priority. Is He the King of your life today? He won't force you, but He will welcome you and unshackle your bondage of the cares of this world. Every one of us brought cares in here today. We all have concerns. We wonder what's going to take place in the future. People wonder what's going to happen. We know there's things that are happening today in our world. We're living in unique times. God's working His plan, my friends. Don't be brought under the bondages of this world, but by faith, seek out the liberty of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens, folks, if you're in a relationship with Jesus, it's going to be okay. If our lives are taken, whatever takes place, if you're under the control of the Savior, let it go and be a part of the liberty of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we don't take action. Doesn't mean we don't do things. But folks, are you free today from the bondage and the cares of this world? Only you and I can let our liberty in Christ be taken away. We have that power. Receive Him and trust Him as your Savior today. And if you know Him already, but have compromised your liberty, ask Him to help you get it back. Take back your freedom. Now that's something like Ronnie Reagan would have said. Mr. Gorbachev, take your freedom back. Excuse me, in Jesus. If it's been compromised. But now this morning we're going to remember the real Independence Day, folks. Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That's where it all comes from, my friends. Liberty through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward at this time. If the congregation would take your hymnals, we'll sing the first and last stanza of 216, When We See Christ. 216, as we contemplate the communion service. I have just a few things to say, and then we'll be about that very quickly. 216, as we see, when we see Christ. Oft time the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small. when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And we're going to stop there this morning on that first verse. This morning, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to memorialize, and that's what this is about, and recall vividly in these elements what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross through His body that bore our sins and through His blood which atoned for or covered our sins. This morning, I just want to say this. If you're visiting with us, do not be uncomfortable. We practice here at Fruitland close communion, not closed communion or open communion, but it's not under any rules that we set. It's the rules in your liberty from the Lord. But understand this today, what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, he says there are some parameters around these things that God has given to us. So today, some of the things that I would say that are very important, and again, I do more teaching on this, but the scriptures really set the precedence here. But number one, because this is about Jesus Christ today, if you have never received Christ as your Savior, it's better to pass these elements by. These cannot save you. They are not sacraments. They are merely symbols, representations of Christ's body and blood. Better to pass that by today and receive Christ as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is near to you today, and He is ready for you if you are ready for Him. The second thing is it's very important if we have unconfessed sin amongst in our lives with other believers, fellow believers, this is a good time to evaluate that. Better to pass these by. Because what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, in the church at Corinth, which is a wild and rebellious church, he says people are dying because they are participating in this fellowship supper with the Lord, and they're not in fellowship even with one another. So better today to pass that by and make certain that you get those things placed in fellowship with those around you. And then lastly, your own fellowship with Christ. Well, I mentioned before our salvation, but the other thing briefly, what are the sin issues in your life? Today, it is better to realize and to deal with those with the Lord. By the way, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Better to take this time with Him. But if your conscience is clear today, as I say, it's up to you, close communion. And other issues. But folks, this is a celebration. Jesus said we are to remember what He has done by doing this vividly. Today, two elements quickly. We have unleavened bread, which symbolizes the sinless body of Christ. We have a cup with the fruit of the vine. It is not fermented. The unleavened bread has no symbolization of sin in it, yeast. Same way with the cup. It symbolizes Christ's pure body that was broken for us, and His sinless, pure blood that was shed to cover our sins. So, with me not longer saying anything more, I've said enough today. I'm going to turn it over to Deacon Denny here to give us some time and maybe some insight and to pray once again as we contemplate the body of Christ on Calvary's cross.
Come to You, remembering what You have done for us, Lord. And as You say, Lord, do this in remembrance of You. Yes, Lord, my sins are many, as You know, Lord. And Lord, as we contemplate the love that You have for us, the mercy and the grace, that we're only here because of those things there, Lord. And we're not consumed because of that mercy, Lord, and grace. As we take a minute out, Lord, to think about, may we ponder this truth, Lord, that may we ask ourselves, Lord, where would we be if we didn't know You, Lord?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, have have mercy on us, Lord, like never before, Lord. So, Lord, in saying that, Lord, we thank you for loving us and caring for us, Lord. And as a body, as we come together, hopefully in unity, Lord, that we stay at peace, Lord, with one another, Lord. Help us to remember, Lord, change us, make us more like you, in Christ's name.
Amen.
Give to us always. Thank you for it. Help. Hopefully today we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Today also, before we depart, if any of you would have a question about things that were said or anything about this morning, I'm glad to meet and greet you at the door. I'd always like to be back there to say hello to you. But today, we find this recorded, what Jesus said in Paul's last rendition of this that was given through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "This cup is the new testament or covenant or new program or agreement. And the new agreement